Grace to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 502 is an important number for this morning. It was 502 years ago on October 31st that Luther did something that started off a whole bunch of stuff. He nailed 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg, and these were 95 sentences basically that posed debate and called into question practices like indulgences and beliefs like purgatory. And they reminded everybody that the true treasure of the church is the gospel. In other words, Luther called into question the church's stewardship of the faith that they'd inherited all the way back from the apostles. Today we conclude, this is part three of our stewardship sermon series on stewardship as wisdom. And today the number 160 is also an important number because today we celebrate 160 years of ministry here in Bethalto at Zion. For 160 years, our spiritual ancestors have been proclaiming the faith of the resurrection and the Reformation here in this place. We've been passing down our heritage of faith. The Ministry Center, you probably saw when you came in, the Ministry Center is full of a bunch of banners that remind us of the path that the preceding 160 years have taken. But see, those two numbers, 502 and 160, they really only matter because they take us back to the number 2000. The faith that we've been passing down for 160 years here, the faith that Luther brought us back to 502 years ago, it only matters because it goes back to the faith of the apostles and the teachings of Jesus 2,000 years before. Our gospel reading for today shows us something about what it means to be a steward of the faith, what it means to be given the gift of faith, and what it means to have to steward this faith and this heritage that we've been given. Our gospel reading shows us that doing that means being thought foolish by many, many people. Matthew 11 provides us, though, with the comfort of knowing that it's not just us, that these same things also happened to Jesus. So let's have a look at the reading. Jesus begins the reading with these words that are in bold here. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the law and the prophets prophesied until John. I'm sorry, I missed just a little bit with the bold there. It doesn't seem like a very positive picture to start stuff off, does it? And it isn't. See, that's the point. John is in prison right now. Opposition to Jesus is growing. And when you look at this, I mean, if this is the reign of God, his game is pretty weak, right? I mean, it doesn't look the way you'd think it was. If this is the reign of the Almighty God himself, then why doesn't John's preaching go better? If this is the reign of the Almighty God himself, why haven't more people turned out? If this is the reign of the Almighty God himself, why aren't the supposedly godly people, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, why aren't they falling in behind these teachers? Why do these guys look so weak and so frail? John and Jesus. But did you notice in the end there, Jesus also says, until John, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. In other words, something's changed now. Something is different. And those people who sit at the feet of Jesus, hearing his teaching and receiving his words, something's happening in the world as they do that. Something's happening in the world as Christ speaks. See, when Jesus says all the law and the prophets, he's not talking about people. That's how he talks about the Old Testament. In other words, all the law and the prophets, the whole Old Testament scripture, all of it, until John has prophesied. But now things are different. Something's changed. The prophecy is fulfilled. Now the day of the Lord that they've been talking about for years and years is finally here. The problem is, when Jesus says that, it doesn't look like very much has changed. It doesn't look like very much is different. Opposition to Jesus' message has reached a critically high point when he says this stuff. John is in prison, and even he seems to be having his doubts about who Jesus is. And let's be honest, without the eyes of faith, without the knowledge of the resurrection, this whole Jesus following thing, it seems like a bit of a joke, doesn't it? But then again, so did the Reformation, right? The message of free grace, they said, it'll be the end of all morality. And so does the ministry of the church today. You've been saying the same thing for the past 160 years. How could you possibly stay relevant? See, ideas and organizations that proclaim the gospel, they look like the epitome of weakness because what they proclaim is a message that you can't do anything. That it's already been done for you. You know, it's little wonder that the next two verses follow. Jesus continues with these, and if you are willing to accept it, he says, he is the Elijah, John is the Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. You know, he says that stuff because people weren't willing to accept it. He says this stuff because not everybody did have ears to hear. ears to hear. They didn't have them 2,000 years ago, they didn't have them 502 years ago, and not for the past 160 years here either. And let's be honest, I mean, who can blame people sometimes, right? Because the message is hard. And without the eyes of faith, the message of the church seems like utter foolishness. It's even easy for us to fall into this trap, even people of faith, because we like to pick and choose what we get from the Bible, don't we? What we accept and what we want to hear. We like to have ears for some stuff, but not for other things. I mean, we're pretty happy to accept things that mesh with, like, our political views or our cultural moment or our personal situation in life, but we don't like it when the Bible tells us stuff about things like sexuality and marriage and what we can and can't do. We don't like it when the Bible tells us stuff about our money and who we should or shouldn't give it to. We don't like it when the Bible tells us that we have to treat other people, even people that we may not like or may not be interested in interacting with or living next to, that we got to treat them with respect and love and care. It's pretty easy for us, even as people of faith, to shut our ears off when we hear stuff like that, isn't it? And we start to sound an awful lot like the people that Jesus is calling out. Listen, here's what he says. What shall I compare this generation? To what shall I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. See, in this illustration, the children are the people of that generation and they're talking to Jesus. We tried to get you to dance, but you wouldn't. We tried to get you to mourn, but you wouldn't. We tried to make you do the stuff we wanted you to do, but you wouldn't do it. And he goes on. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon, and the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. John was too strict for him. Jesus was too lax, they thought, or at least in the people that he hung around with. In other words, neither one of them were proclaiming the message that the people wanted to hear. They were just proclaiming the truth of God. See, this generation in this text could refer to any generation. Any generation between then and now and all the way into the future until our Lord comes again. And it can pertain to you and me too. Because we don't get the Jesus that we want in the Bible. We don't get the message that we want to hear in the Bible. We just get the truth of God. And if we're passing down that truth faithfully, if we're being good stewards of our heritage, and then the faith that we pass down is not going to give people the Jesus that they want to have. It's not going to give them the message that we'd like. It's just going to give them the truth of God's word. I mean, that's what's happening with the Pharisees in Jesus' time. They don't want to listen, and they won't. Do you? Will you? Because, see, being a good steward of the faith means passing down the true word of God that challenges us and that shapes us and that even offends us sometimes. But being a good steward of the faith means letting the message be the message, letting God be God. One last thing, and this is important. This is what happens when we let God be God. Jesus finishes the whole thing and he says, yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. That's our gospel for today. Jesus is speaking into the context of this opposition to his message. He's speaking into a context where John is in prison, and he's speaking into a context where the gospel message, the true gospel, is seen as absolute foolishness. And his point is that what is wise will ultimately be revealed as wise. God is going to use this opposition to get Jesus to the cross. And the foolishness of Jesus dying on the cross is going to be revealed as wisdom on Easter Sunday. And ultimately, the foolishness of the gospel message, the foolishness of the cross, is going to be revealed as wisdom when Jesus comes back, when he returns on the last day. Wisdom will be justified by her deeds. And here we are 2,000 years later, still proclaiming the same message, still passing on the same faith. See, Jesus calls us to see our past and our present in terms of our future. He calls us to see that all the things that Luther had to go through in the Reformation were ultimately wisdom because of what he's looking forward to in the final resurrection. He called us to see that during the past 160 years here at our church, we've been through some pretty tough stuff. I mean, some of it we know personally, some of it has faded into the past. But he calls us to see that past and our present in terms of our future. And he calls you in your life to do the same thing, to see your past and your present in terms of the future. That whatever you went through, whatever you're going through, ultimately, the wisdom of your faith, the faith that's been passed to you and the faith that you pass down, will be justified when on the last day you stand beside your Savior for all eternity. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.